Good afternoon and welcome to Cross Currents. I'm Carolyn Heldman. Coming up on today's show, Aspen Mayor Steve Skadron, along with Chip Cummins, the founder, chairman, and CEO of the American Renewable Energy Institute and founder of the R-Day Summit. They both are recently returned from COP21 in Paris. The international political response to climate change began at the Rio Earth Summit in 1992, where the Rio Convention included the adoption of the UN Framework on Climate Change. This convention set out a framework for action aimed at stabilizing atmospheric concentrations of greenhouse gases to avoid dangerous anthropogenic interference with the climate system. The UNFCCC, which entered into force on March 21, 1994, now has a near-universal membership of 195 parties. The main objective of the annual Conference of Parties, or COP, is to review the convention's implementations. COP21, known as the 2015 Paris Climate Conference, wrapped up 2 weeks ago. Chip Cummins and Aspen Mayor Steve Skadron are my guests.
Chip, how fun was it to walk into the Paris Chamber of Commerce? And of all the world leaders who I ran into first, it was you, Chip, standing right there.
Well, cool. I might be a world leader in my own mind, but in fact, there were some world leaders at that summit, including the president of Iceland, which I'm one of my favorite picks I got was with him. Ólafur, I think his name was.
Ólafur.
So, Steve, how is it that you came to go? How is it that you got invited?
I was invited by the mayor of Paris, who hosted an event called the Climate Summit for Local Leaders. And it was the largest convening of cities on climate. And there were some of the world's most largest cities there, of which Aspen is not. Perhaps the smallest. I think we were the smallest. And just the mayor's participation helped. The collective action by the cities themselves helped make a contribution to the COP21 final agreement. The event itself was extraordinary, and it was choreographed and professionally done from top to bottom. Approaching the Paris City Hall, there was, as you might imagine, a great amount of security. And I had credentials that were all set up in advance for me, which I was able to get the day before upon my arrival. They took us through security measures, and they take us into the Paris City Hall. And the Paris City Hall itself is an extraordinary structure, like the State House, like multiple state houses in Denver, massive. They led us up this grand staircase into the grand ballroom, where there were maybe 750 or 1,000 people who were part of this thing, 200 or 250 of the world's leading cities, mayors, and then they all had staff. I was alone, but they all had staff, there was security and media and volunteers, so the room was full. At one point, just before it started, and they were very strict on timing and when we wanted to take our seats inside City Hall, and they said, we need you at security by 7:45, and we need you inside the City Hall by 8:15. We want everybody in their seats by 8:30 or 8:45. Just prior to the start of the event, I had no surprise here. I went for a big run the morning along the Seine and around some of the monuments. Paris doesn't wake up that early, by the way. So I asked one of the volunteers if there was water. They had given us reusable water bottles. And she said over in the hallway over there, there was some. So I went out to the pitcher, filled up this water bottle, and there was a contingent walking down the hallway, which included the president of France. So I happened to be standing, Carol, as close as we are to the president of France. I was stunned.
Wow.
He kicked off the conference, and he said he started with a few words on the terrorist attacks and the power of people and the spirit of France, and was gracious that the event continued and that mayors from around the world came to Paris to help launch this entire conference.
This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. My guests are Aspen Mayor Steve Skadron and Chip Cummins, the founder, chairman, and CEO of the American Renewable Energy Institute and founder of the R-Day Summit. They've both recently returned from COP21 in Paris, also known as the 2015 Paris Climate Conference. Assuming you've done several events around this country, I would guess, with other mayors, so were there some people there that you had already known and worked with in various capacities?
I've done in the around the state. I attend the Colorado Municipal League's Mayor's Summit. So I've met a few of the, I've met mayors from around Colorado from that event. One was Matt Applebaum, the mayor of Boulder. He was there. Around the country, I'm part of something called the Mayor's Innovation Conference. And there were mayors from that, which is kind of a subset of the U.S. Conference of Mayors, which we are not part of because I think there's a population threshold there, 35,000 people. We're 6,000. But I've met some mayors through this innovation conference, which is this offshoot of the U.S. Conference of Mayors. One who hosted the last meeting was the mayor of Des Moines, and I spent some time with him, which is really fascinating because I actually sat with him inside the chip, inside the tent, the Blue Zone, where we went to a plenary session, and we happened, my credentials, which I got through the State Department, that was the other extraordinary thing. I didn't just have credentials. I had access to the most significant corridors. Chip, we can comment about, there's the Blue Zone, which is the high secure zone, then there's a public zone. This is out in a town called Les Bourget, which is about a half an hour outside of Paris, where the whole thing, the whole negotiation happened. Inside the Blue Zone, so I was at the conference, the COP21 conference, and which was separate from the Paris Climate Summit for Local Leaders that the mayor of Paris hosted. Mm-hmm. So many things were happening around Paris, by the way. It wasn't just one thing over there. So this is the actual, I'm inside the tent of the actual event, the COP21, where the negotiations were happening. So I was in the room, and I sat with the mayor of Des Moines, and also with the mayor of New Orleans, Mitch Landrieu, and Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake, the mayor of Baltimore. And we happened to be sitting right behind Mayor Bloomberg and Mayor Hidalgo of New York City, and Mayor Hidalgo, who's the mayor of Paris. And then at one point, we all got up and walked around and walked to the next row and said hello. We were making introductions. And what was fun, this is totally a compliment to Aspen and the people we attract here. I had the privilege last winter of having dinner with Mayor Bloomberg. He came to speak at an institute event. It was a small gathering, and we met there. So as we were making introductions with some of the heavyweight mayors, he turned to me and said, "Oh, Steve, by the way, I'll be in Aspen in January.
Let's make a ski date now."
Yeah, so he didn't say let's have a ski date, but I was flattered he recognized me. And
that's
we,
great.
Which was impressive to my fellow mayors because all of a sudden, apparently, I'm now the heavy hitter. So,
What is Aspen doing that's innovative, on the cutting edge, and what are we in concert with some other cities around the world, and what are we lagging in?
One remarkable thing, one of the takeaways was, and it's really a compliment to this community's core values, is how remarkable the community is and that we're noted for that. And while I had the privilege of going and representing the community, the compliment really goes to a generation of Aspenites who established a set of core values upon which the community has built and has been very around, been very progressive. And environmental stewardship is one of those things. And it's one of the pillars of a platform I ran on. So I had had a mandate to stand up and say the various things around environment, comment on our leadership. So, and it ranges from everything like our recent accomplishment of 100% renewable energy, powering our local utility with 100% renewable sources, all the way back to a vision to build affordable housing in town, and the transportation infrastructure that we've worked on and are continuing to work on, like BRT and RAFTA, to things like REMP, the Renewable Energy Mitigation Program, which is essentially a fee on excess energy use that gets put into a fund that we can apply to address energy efficiency.
Is it the equivalent, in a mini kind of weird, not exact way, of a carbon tax?
Some people like to call it a carbon tax on the rich, but I think that, in fact, it was what Steve said. It's not a tax. It's a fee that's placed on excessive or egregious energy consumption. Mm-hmm. But the good part is that it's created a fund that the town and the county pour back into energy efficient measures through CORE, mm-hmm. you know, the Community Office of Resource Efficiency.
Okay. Did the city foot the bill, I'm sure, for your trip?
For my trip? My trip was a plane ticket and a hotel room. I paid for my own meals.
You did?
I did personally.
Okay. What did you learn anything that you want to bring home and try to implement?
The hotel, by the way, was one of the Latin Quarter's plush two-star.
Nice, yeah. Venues. I know exactly the type of
be
hotel.
Be it ever so humble.
Yeah. really good location. It was clean and safe. That's all I was asking for. And they had a little closet, little tiny closet where I could hang my suit, which I wore every day.
So. The same suit.
The blue suit. So
yeah.
But fresh shirts. One suit, but I had fresh shirts and clean ties.
Okay, good.
So
you have a standard to uphold, Steve. It's Aspen.
Exactly. Oh, so I should not have worn a suit?
No, I'm glad you did. Just fresh shirts are really critical.
So
anything you learned you want to bring back?
Yeah. We as mayors can achieve at a local level what nations have not been able to achieve at a national level. There's a theme around urgency and collaboration. And it was apparent to me that Aspen is an example because of what we've accomplished, and others are looking to learn from us. That was what was so extraordinary to me. I sat on a number of different panels with an array of governmental leaders and leaders of various nonprofits, CEO of the Sierra Club, the Minister of the Economy Environment from Kazakhstan, you know, that kind of stuff. And they're interested in our accomplishments. So that was the fact that others are looking to learn from us was interesting. And with the contacts I made both domestically and internationally, we can work together to achieve these common goals.
So the tricky part, I think, and Chip, you've been talking about this for years. I mean, Steve is talking about the accomplishments of government and what government can do, and was able to accomplish at COP21. Business is a really critical part of this as well, being leaders.
Big time. I mean, I saw Steve at the World Climate Summit, and it was delightful, and he spoke on a wonderful panel, and I spoke on another one, and many others. But I went to another summit in the same location, and it was put on by the New York Times on environment and energy, and tomorrow, hosted by Tom Friedman, and he did an armchair with Secretary Kerry. So John Kerry, and I happened to be in the room and, you know, sitting right there, and he said unequivocally that, look, you know, you cannot rely on the governments of the world to fix this problem. It's going to have to be led by the private sector, and that's the market forces of the world, Wall Street and all of the markets around the planet. And so one of the big things that happened post Paris Agreement was that you know, oil, coal, and gas stocks went down and renewable stocks went up. Now, that was a knee-jerk reaction, I think, in the first couple of days. And, you know, I don't think that we're going to be able to count on that. But I will say that, you know, what's happened in the energy industries with the advent of multi-directional drilling and fracking, it's changed the whole game. And that has put pressure on coal. I mean, I don't know if you heard that in England, the last deep coal mine shut down, which basically is a metaphor for driving the Industrial Revolution. And that just happened last week. Now, I'm not saying that's directly associated with the COP, but it happened, you know, right afterwards, so serendipitous. But the point is that we are looking at the private sector solution. That's one of the things that we promote at Our Day each year. We always have a, you know, a nice economic focus, putting the green in green. We've been talking about that for years. And Aspen has been such a leader, and it's just such a great fit, you know, to do it here in the Valley and promoting those values. You know, I also went to Tom Steyer had an event called Climate and Capital. And so that was very specifically focused on investment strategies in clean tech. And, you know, how do we get the investment dollars out of, you know, oil, coal, and gas, or something called the divest invest movement that's really sweeping the world. I think that they've already got $3.5 trillion divested. You know, Stanford University divested its $18 billion portfolio. You know, Harvard is thinking about it, you know, various stages. And that's just
the criticism, though, of those is the divestitures. Are they really are just a drop in the bucket? They're more of a statement than making any kind of impact.
Right. I mean, the issue really is that with an annual GDP of $25 trillion, that's the United States, of a total world GDP of 80. So just put in perspective, we have, you know, over, you know, a quarter of the world's economy. You know, where does it make sense to invest in wind, solar, biofuels, and get the kind of return on investment that typically has been seen, you know, in the traditional or the, let's say, the fossil energy stocks, and then as it translates from there. So we're in the middle of this great transition. You know, that's what we've been talking about at the R Day summits the past few years, what President Carter talked about last year. Uh-huh. And that, you know, to now, I think, you know, this year, by the way, I want to make an announcement here that R Day is coming out of August for the first time ever, and we're going to be in June. So our dates are June 18 through 23. We're sandwiching right between food and wine and Jazz Aspen and ideas. So right. We're just like putting ourselves right in there. But back to the economic opportunities that are presenting in a post-COP 21 world, which is really what we're looking at our day this year, and also towards the general election in the United States in November. So it's very important to see what the candidates are saying about this, which, by the way, I might note that both Republican and Democratic debates this last week didn't even mention climate, nor COP21, which I thought was just egregious, you know, that wouldn't be mentioned. 192 mm-hmm. countries came together. They came up with an agreement, and they actually set, you know, higher benchmarks than had been hoped for. Everybody was saying 2 degrees C. They went for a 1.5 degrees, which is better for the island nations that are, you know, literally having, you know, climate refugees now. But there really isn't any mechanism in this agreement to make that action happen. And so I was hoping to go to Paris and that there would be some new mechanism that was going to be installed that would continue on a global basis to create a carbon market. I mean, we've got to have a price signal on carbon, like the REMP fund mm-hmm. in Aspen. Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about, price signals. Mm-hmm.
This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. My guests are Aspen Mayor Steve Skadron and Chip Cummins, the founder, chairman, and CEO of the American Renewable Energy Institute and founder of the R-Day Summit. They've both recently returned from COP21 in Paris, also known as the 2015 Paris Climate Conference.
Put it in real terms, the layperson understands, what a carbon tax looks like. That means if you pollute, if you're burning coal, for instance.
X number of tons. Uh-huh.
Explain to us how that, right, what the translation is.
So what we have to do is we have to start to come to terms with the cost of the externalities, which we've ignored, meaning that when we burn coal, oil, or gas, and we create these effluents, you know, not just carbon dioxide, but all the rest of them that are degrading the environment, and what that costs in terms of healthcare, what that costs in terms of, you know, lost productivity, you know, what that costs in terms of just environmental degradation in terms of air, water, and food. Okay, and there's calculations, and they're tough to come up with, but that, if we were to go to the, say, right now to the pump, right, and let's say the average price of gas, which I think is something like $1.75, I mean, it's ridiculously low considering, and that let's say we were to put $2 tax on that. Now we're back up to what we were paying like 5 years ago, you know, $3.50 a gallon or something. And we took that money, which would be enormous. I mean, imagine, you know, the amount of money that would generate, you know, mm-hmm. trillions of dollars, and be able to reinvest that into rebuilding our infrastructure in terms of transitioning our built environment. I mean, you know, why REMP is so important is because it goes into the built environment. And why the built environment is so important is because with 120 million residential homes and about 60 billion square feet of commercial real estate in the United States, when you talk about heating and cooling these buildings, and you talk about the trips to and from in automobiles, and you talk about the carbon that's produced when you manufacture the materials to build them remodel them, that could be 70%. The point is that, you know, we've got to pay attention to our cities. These mega cities, C40, I think you're mentioning, the 40 biggest cities in the world, and how they're looking at these strategies, these low carbon strategies. And again, back full circle to a carbon tax or, you know, a cap and trade. I mean, I happen to be an advocate for a tax. Let's call it a spade, what it is, and then let's take that money and put it to work in the transition to a clean energy economy. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Let me ask about Aspen again. I know there was a lot of discussion about the Maldives and other island nations that are literally in danger of disappearing under rising oceans. The Canary Initiative in Aspen, is Aspen and other mountain towns recognized in the same way as some of these, or should we be as precursors or canaries?
Well, that's the premise upon which I went to Paris. It was to be part of the, help our voice inform decision other communities are making, because Aspen plays a role, and we're small but significant, and we're a proving ground others look to for that leadership. And that's important because Aspen is an Aspen without the natural environment. And the environment, like our snowpack, our rivers, our general health, everything that makes Aspen desirable is subject to decisions outside our control. So one accomplishment, I think we were able to do this, was to help inform the conversation that's happening in other places.
Okay. I just want to go back just a second to, you mentioned the debates, Chip. I was in a room last week, and there was discussion about a book that's coming out, I think in January or February. And I think this person who wrote the book might be coming to town next summer for a very high-profile event. I can't remember what the title is, but it was about the jobs and the industry, the next frontier. And it was artificial intelligence, the commercialization of genomics, cybersecurity, the digitization of money. Nowhere was there anything about renewables, about energy, about climate change.
Can I comment on that,
please?
When Upton Sinclair wrote a book where he referenced, if a man's salary is pegged or contingent upon him not understanding something, it's very difficult to get him to understand that. So that's a very metaphoric way of saying that as long as we are pegged to a worldwide economy that's based on the extraction and burning of fossil fuels, it's very, very difficult for us to get up in the day and go to work and think that when we put our car in the ignition and we contribute our daily amount of CO2 footprint, which Americans have the largest per capita in the world, by the way, that we are doing something to denigrate our children's future. No, we're going to work to make the money to send them to college so they can have a good life just like we did. Okay, so it's a fundamental moral, ethical, and I'm going to say intellectual shift that has to take place into being willing to admit that what we've been doing for the last 150 years and the way that we've been doing it no longer works. And in fact, it's breaking down the life support system of the planet.
It's difficult to get a man to understand something when his salary depends upon his not understanding it. That was the Upton Sinclair quote.
To put it really nicely.
Yes, it's a fine balance. And I think, Chip, it's very much the conversation that's happening at a national level. And if you listen to the Republican debate, they're saying, and you know, that's what they say, it's the cost to the local economy of implementing the very policies we're talking about. I think it comes back to core set of community values, and we prioritize the things that are important to us. That's why be careful who you vote for at every level. It matters.
Well, and I think, look, under President Obama's clean energy plan, as applied through executive order and the EPA, you know, we actually do have a framework that's putting us in the right direction.
This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. My guests are Aspen Mayor Steve Skadron and Chip Cummins, the founder, chairman, and CEO of the American Renewable Energy Institute and founder of the R-Day Summit. They've both recently returned from COP21 in Paris, also known as the 2015 Paris Climate Conference. So you both were there. Historic agreement. You come back hopeful? Oh, I'm leaving silence in. I have to leave all the silence in because it's really important.
The big breath.
Carolyn, I'll comment from the mayor's level. I was. So there was this theme repeated about urgency and collaboration, and you can do at a local level what can't be done at a national level. And I did come away encouraged that other mayors got the message and are open and willing to try things they haven't done before in the mess, or they're not yet doing. And one breakout session I went to was with the Chinese delegation, and they spoke to these issues and laid out their plans to address this and how they're changing their transportation infrastructures and dealing with many of the kind of value sets we're talking about. Now, I don't know, will they actually do it, or that they had a captive audience and said all the right things? I don't know. But it was encouraging for me to have the Chinese leadership as part of this broader international conversation.
But does it start with legislation, you and I were in a room last week, and is it government saying you may only bring six cars into this city limit every day or move around every day? Or does it start with a business saying, we believe in the values, we are contributing by self-imposing limitations?
Carolyn, this was exactly the conversation we had. And we had business leaders in that room. And one of them, the conversation was that made me really frustrated was, if there was a government mandate, we would change our policies. Right. I don't even know what to do with that. Now, the example we have in this town, and we're fortunate to have, is the Aspen Skiing Company, on the other hand. And what SkiCo has done is burden themselves with things that don't necessarily speak to their immediate profit margin. The methane capture project they did from the coal mine down in Somerset, powering their lifts with 100% renewables, the way they built all their buildings with the leading edge green technologies, waterless toilets. You know, these aren't things they have to do. It's not mandated by city government, but this is a private entity that went out and got the job done. So if the largest employer and most important employer in this valley can get it done without government legislation, it's curious to me why others can't follow that example. And I'd prefer not to have it be the heavy hand of local government.
Legislation and policy is beneficial, but that's what Secretary Kerry was saying. It's like the private sector is going to have to lead this thing, and it's going to have to be driven economically in a value-based model, which it is. I mean, in other words, you know, to quote Amory, you know, there's more money to be made in saving energy than there is in producing it. That's a heck of a statement to be making, but that's how inefficient we are in our methodology of how we manufacture our cars and trucks and buses and buildings, et cetera, et cetera. So right now we're reframing all of that, and that's being led by people like Elon Musk at Tesla. You know, it's a good example, maybe the best example. This was a moment in time for the world to focus very clearly on problem and solution. And, you know, I think coming out, you know, back to your question, you know, well, you know, coming out of it, I was kind of like, well, I everybody's like high-fiving and jumping up and down. And I was a little bit kind of depressed in a way because, you know, I was hoping for something a little bit more dynamic in terms of, you know, the mechanics of how are we going to get this done. And that's why I think the leadership from Aspen is so important. Up here, the jewel of Colorado in a very progressive state where it comes to renewable energy and energy efficiency under the great leadership of people like, you know, Governor Ritter and Hickenlooper now and Senators, you know, Udall and Bennett and Cory Gardner is coming on strong. So, you know, we want to really work with both sides of the aisle here. I mean, that's a really important point that, you know, we engage the Republicans on their greenness and really get to work in Washington to make what, you know, differences need to be had. And if they have to look to Aspen's leadership, you know.
Yeah, good.
It's exceptional that you both were there representing this town, this valley. We're really lucky to have had your presence there. And thanks so much for your time.
Good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Carolyn.
The mayor of Aspen, Steve Skadron, along with Chip Cummins, he's the founder of the Our Day Summit. They were both in Paris for COP21, the 2015 Paris Climate Conference. This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. If you missed the show or would like to hear it again, go to our website, aspenpublicradio.org. Have a great afternoon.